Philippians chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 25 to 30. And you can find that on page 981 of the Blue ESV Pew Bibles. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 25. The Apostle Paul, and he's writing a letter here to the church at Philippi that we just read about in Acts, and he writes these words, continuing in his letter. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And may God bless his holy word to our understanding this morning. When you and I became Christians, if you're truly trusting in the Lord, we became part of Christ's body, the church. And one of the greatest blessings of being part of that body of Christ is that we're not alone trying to face the trials that come our way. And today we'll look at Philippians 2, 25 to 30, at a good example of how the church should be a healthy body working together. First of all, it helps to understand the background of what's happening in this particular passage. The Apostle Paul is writing the letter to the church at Philippi, and he's writing it from prison in Rome. It's his first imprisonment. He would be imprisoned there later. This is the first time that he was brought to Rome in prison. One of the commentators that I read had an interesting comment about it, where he was, and he writes, earlier Paul had written to the church at Rome that in his prayers he was asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. I find that in Romans 1, verse 10. Paul's prayers were answered, but in a surprising way. A riot in the Jerusalem temple, protective custody by Roman troops that morphed into arrest, accusations and assassination plots by Jewish authorities, Paul's appeal to the emperor, a long and perilous voyage, shipwreck, and finally Paul's arrival in chains in the imperial capital. And every detail was by God's will, part of his plan and purpose. And he would be brought later once again to a prison in Rome, and so this is the first time, and he would eventually be released from this current imprisonment that he's writing from. And he was probably under some kind of house arrest or confinement, other than a dungeon. If he was in a dungeon, nobody could come like Epaphroditus and minister to him, and he wouldn't be able to have visitors talk to him and all this. Where he was, he obviously was able to have visitors. And he was able to share his testimony with the guards. He was quite possibly chained to a guard in this place, possibly a house arrest arrangement. I'm not sure all the details of it, but he was in a place where people could come to him and he could minister to them and he could share the blessing of Christ with even those who were holding him captive. Now, the church at Philippi knew that Paul was imprisoned, and they sent Epaphroditus to Paul. He was their messenger, And it's interesting that the Greek word used for messenger here is the same word that's used for apostle most of the time in the scripture. It's someone sent on a mission to represent someone's interests, someone else's interest, and someone that is truly trusted and sent with the authority of the one who sent them. And so the church in Philippi sent Epaphroditus, and he's one whom they placed great trust, obviously. They sent a gift to help Paul, and he had to, of course, provide most everything for himself while he was in prison. I'm not sure if he would have gotten more than bread and water if just the Romans were caring for him. And so Epaphroditus brought this gift that would help provide for Paul while he was in prison. Epaphroditus is most likely is a leader in the church and probably an elder or a deacon. We're not sure exactly. And he had traveled about 800 miles to come from Philippi to Rome. Thanks to the good Roman roads, he was able to make that trip in about a month and get to Paul and to bring the gift from the church to Paul, and then to hear and bring this letter back from Paul. Because many people traveled between these two cities, since Philippi was a Roman colony, using those Roman roads. The news did go back and forth between them, and that's how the people in Philippi knew that Epaphroditus had been very sick. Epaphroditus brought news of the situation in the church to Paul, which would enable him to more effectively pray for those people in that church, and to also know what to exhort the people to do when he wrote back to them. Epaphroditus was also the one sent by the church to minister, and he was there to minister to Paul, bringing their gifts. He didn't just deliver the message from the about the situation in the church, but he also brought gifts for Paul to help support him. And he remained to serve Paul as Paul would need. Of course, there was a risk to Epaphroditus in doing this because Paul potentially could have been condemned to death, and those who were supporting him could well have received a similar sentence if the authorities thought that that person would be a risk. And through their gift and the service by Epaphroditus to Paul, the church at Philippi was actively sharing in enabling Paul to spread the gospel. And you notice, we're talking about churches and people that are spread far apart. They're not just right next door. And it would take a month to go from one to the other. In this passage, we see then the parts of the body of Christ working together to help the whole body advance Christ's kingdom. And we read in this passage about the relationship between Epaphroditus and Paul. They're brothers in Christ. They're brothers in Christ just as you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ if we truly know him as our Lord and Savior, redeemed by Christ who paid the penalty for their sin and for ours, and now united as parts of that body of Christ who demonstrate to all those around them the love that Christ has shown to them. As parts of that body, they're concerned for one another and for the rest of the body, even though they're separated by those great differences. When one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. When all parts of the body are healthy, the whole body thrives. And we experience that in our own individual lives. When we're healthy, we thrive. When we're sick, we suffer. And as the body of Christ, we share together, and we should be sharing together as we support one another and rejoice with one another. depending on what the circumstances may be. And note how the sickness that Epaphroditus suffered affected everyone. His sickness was an immediate concern, obviously, for Paul. Paul could only pray for Epaphroditus to fully recover. Paul wasn't in a position where he could go and do anything physically for Epaphroditus because Paul was under arrest. And he couldn't physically care for him. But we also see the concern in the church at Philippi, and the word had gotten back to them that Epaphroditus was so sick that he was near death. And so it was whatever illness he had was very, very serious. It was something that he could easily have died from. Paul's concern for the church at Philippi then led him to willingly give up the service being provided by Epaphroditus so he could return home and personally show himself to them as being well again, that their prayers had been answered. And you see how the church is working together in all those things, supporting one another, praying for one another, helping one another, and yet even at a great distance. Well, Epaphroditus and Paul aren't just brothers in Christ, but they're also fellow workers serving Christ, laboring together, ministering in the name of Christ to advance the cause of Christ in the name of Christ. We read about the start of that church when we read in Acts 16. And now Epaphroditus is a leader in that church who has gone to serve Paul. You notice that he's not just sitting on the sidelines, but active in the work of the kingdom, just as Paul. Even though Paul was in prison, probably chained to a soldier, that didn't stop him from ministering. That didn't stop him from proclaiming Christ. It didn't stop him from trusting in the Lord and doing everything that he could under his circumstances to proclaim Christ and to advance Christ's kingdom. And it's important for us to understand, everyone's circumstances are different. But we all have opportunities, no matter what the circumstance we may find ourselves in. And we need to follow that example. They were both totally committed to doing whatever God called them to do. And Paul's imprisonment was being used by God to advance the gospel. They were actively doing everything possible to make that happen. Well, Epaphroditus and Paul are not just brothers and fellow workers, but they're also fellow soldiers battling the enemies of Christ. They are willing to stand up against Satan and his attacks on the church. They weren't backing down when confronted with things that they were saying and doing that upset the people originally in Philippi. They didn't back down. They used the opportunity. And in all the other places they went, they used the opportunity to stand up against Satan and his attempts to destroy Christ's church. And they were willing to endure persecution and possible death in service to Christ. And so Epaphroditus went there, and he got sick after he got there, apparently. There were dread diseases going around that they didn't have vaccinations for like we do today. And so if the disease hit you, you could very easily die from it. But he went. He went. And he was willing even to give his life for the cause of Christ. So how should we respond to what we see demonstrated here? Well, first, we need to recognize if you're trusting in Christ, you are part of the whole body of Christ. We're not just individuals left to fend for ourselves. And so it's important to understand that we come to Christ and Christ calls us to be part and active in that body. As we care for our own physical body, so too we must care for the body of Christ that we're part of. We're part of a Christian community. And the community needs to pray for one another, to lift one another up, to support one another, to do things that we might need, that we're able to meet sometimes, a need that someone else in this body has. And so we're called to be that body and to be an active body, not just folks who come together for an hour or two on Sunday morning, but we're to be active. We're called to follow the example we see in this passage as we relate to the rest of the body of Christ. We're united with our fellow Christians as we serve Christ together. And so we care for one another's needs locally, and we seek the advancement of Christ's kingdom throughout the world as we have opportunity to help those serving in other places. And it's interesting, I was looking at our denomination's website and the Global Mission Board part of the website, and we have a small denomination. We have between 7,000 and 8,000 members across this nation, and we also have missions around the world. And so I'm going to just go through quickly what some of the things that we, our little denomination, are able to do and are doing as we reach out in the name of Christ. And we have work going on in Central Asia, for example. And there are people there that are largely unreached by the gospel of Christ. And God has sent people from our denomination to show the love of Christ, the word of truth, among one of those people groups. And they do it carefully because it's a place where there is potential persecution and danger for those who serve in the mission field. And we have a bulletin in the prayer request in our bulletin is for that particular group this week. And we want to keep them in prayer. Each week we have an announcement in our bulletin, a prayer request for part of this outreach of our missions. And so this one, this week, it is Central Asia. We have one in South Asia, down in India. There's a place in a large city, and there's people looking to know the truth, and we have church there, part of our denomination. It's a Hindu region, but they're reaching out in that region for the cause of Christ. We have other works in Pakistan that God has allowed us to work to set up churches, and we have at least one established congregation and several mission churches on the rise. And the Lord builds his church among the people of this nation. We've had a mission in Japan for a long time, from the 1950s. Almost my entire life, we've had a mission going on in Japan, and that is a very difficult to reach group of people. But the Lord's established his church there. And we have five congregations. We have a theological hall. We have a bookstore. We have places where the word of Christ is going forth in that difficult to reach nation. We have a mission in South Sudan in Africa. We sent people from our own, now from the Canadian church, but they were part of our presbytery, went over to South Sudan and ministered there. And there's a whole denomination has been set up there. And the Lord has blessed his word going forth. They have a radio station that they work through. They transmit through. They have a Christian school there. All these things. And we have some opportunities in Central and South America. They're exploring some opportunities in Paraguay and Ecuador right now. We have a mission church established in Chile. We are also in contact with people in Brazil, in Mexico, in Argentina, in Honduras, El Salvador, and Ecuador, and communication with brothers in Cuba and Bolivia as well. And this is from a little denomination, but they're part of the bigger body that we are part of. And we're called to be so committed to the cause of Christ that we work together with these people. Yes, we can't all go over to one of these places, but maybe some can. And we have opportunities, nevertheless, to pray for them, to provide financial support. That's one of the things when we have the Day of Sharing in November. Some of that funds that we collect go to support these mission works overseas. And so we're called to do that as we are able, to advance the body of Christ, all the parts of the world. The gospel is going to the whole world. And the call is to spread that gospel and to do whatever we can. And we see here in this passage the church working together. We see the church supporting someone far away from them. We see the church caring for one another, praying for one another, giving to support one another. And the call to us is to do the same, to follow that example, to be like Epaphroditus, if called upon to do so. We have the blessings of modern technology, so we don't have to walk 800 miles over a course of a month to deliver things. But we have opportunities. We have more opportunities because God has blessed us with the technology and with the ability to go forth and spread the gospel. And so we minister here, and our first priority as a body of Christ, this part of the body, is to minister to one another here. And the call upon us is to be active in that. But we're called to minister to the body around the world. May God bless us as we seek to do that. Have you come to know Christ? Have you come to trust in him? If not, the call is to recognize that Jesus came into this world. He came into this world as a man. God the Son became man, took on that form of man, and he lived among us, and he lived the perfect life we cannot live because of our sin. And he died on the cross. He was faithful even unto death. He set the ultimate example for us. Nothing, not even the cross, stopped him from doing the work that he came to do. And he rose again. And if you're trusting in him, he rose again in victory over sin and death, having paid the penalty to deliver you from your sin and me from my sin. And he ascended to the right hand of his Father. And he sits there on the throne as king and as our mediator through whom we can go. We can go to Christ. We can go to God. We can go to the throne of God. As we trust in Christ, we go to the Lord through him. And he's opened a way. And there's nobody else that needs to be in between us. There's one great high priest, Jesus Christ. And we trust in him. And the call upon you is to do just that. And what a blessing it is. And we'll remember his sacrifice in a few moments as we partake of the Lord's Supper. What he had to endure and what he did. And let us give thanks. And then let us unite together as we serve him each and every day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne, we do come grateful for your mercy and grace. We come acknowledging the necessity of your mercy and grace. We rejoice, O God, in your bringing your people together as a body. We rejoice in this body right here that you've brought us into. And we rejoice in the body of Christ as a whole, around the world, that you have raised up, that you have sent your ministers and your missionaries out to proclaim the good news to people throughout the world. And we thank you, Lord, that people are coming to faith. And we pray, Lord, for those who are ministering in the name of Christ throughout the world, here and in all the countries, all the nations of the earth. Lord, there are some places we can't even mention because of persecution. And we have many in our own denomination that are part of your body in those places. And we lift them up before you, O God. And we pray that you would be gracious and merciful and guide them and guard them and deliver them and help them to remember that you are sovereign and that you are the Lord Almighty. And so bless us, O God. Guide us by your Spirit. Lift us up in faith. And Lord, for those who do not yet come to know, have not yet come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, O Lord, would you open their hearts to hear and to respond in faith. And Lord, we know that even the faith to believe is your gift to us. And so we pray that that gift would come. We thank you, Lord, that by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's your gift, not of our own works. And so we can come before you just on our own by your grace as you give us that faith. And we thank you for that and for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.